Well, we have been studying this week post-resurrection truths, just looking at some of the events in the life of Jesus and the disciples right after the resurrection. It's really interesting. Actually, we dipped into this last night.
We did.
Jesus restored Peter and at his third post-resurrection appearance among the disciples. Mm-hmm. He had appeared more than that, but among the disciples. So that's a real interesting study sometime you may want to do. Just get you a harmony of the Gospels. That is all four of the Gospels kind of interwoven together, the timeline. It's really interesting. And just look at all the times that Jesus appeared after the resurrection. And then Paul even brings some additional information to that. So we won't be able to get into all of that this week. But we did want to spend this week kind of following up from Resurrection Weekend and some things that happened after that. Hey, Mike and Teresa, good morning. Royal, our sister, blessings to you. Hope all of you are doing well today.
Hello, Jana. She was on there, too.
Good yes, to see Jana.
We are going to be in John 20 again to start with today.
Second half of the story we started yesterday of the resurrection evening, the first time Jesus appeared to his disciples, and 10 of them are present. Judas has hung himself. Thomas is out doing something else. He's not there. And we studied that yesterday and how Jesus appeared to them and he commissioned them. And we talked about how he just appeared in a room and it gave us some information about how his post-resurrection body was different than before. But yet it was still material, as we'll see today. And we talked about how he sent them out. And we talked about how he breathed on them. They received the Holy Spirit. One thing we didn't cover yesterday was this idea. He said, whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven.
That's a fascinating idea.
Yes. And going back to that, he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Again, this is his initial bequeathing of commissioning after the resurrection. More's to come with, you know, Acts 1, Matthew 28, and so forth, Mark 16. A lot more information follows this. This kind of goes back to Matthew 16 when he's in Caesarea Philippi and Peter gets the revelation, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he talks about the keys of the kingdom, what you bind on earth be, for, you know, bound in heaven, and so forth. This idea of the authority that's entrusted to the disciples and then ultimately to all his disciples, the church, the bride of Christ, we have been given the message of the gospel. We have been ordained of God and delegated the authority to say to the world, if your sins can be forgiven, and here is how. And also to be able to say, this is the only way your sins can be forgiven. And if you're trying another way, that won't work. Your sins will not be forgiven. Maybe more to it than that, but that's just a simple 10,000 foot view there. So let's move on into the other part today, because I want to get to Thomas, because we're going to get to the part of the meeting where Thomas shows up. And yes, verse 25 and following.
Well, actually, let's start in verse 24, where it says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands. Reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed. So very sobering and inspirational passage.
Yes, it is. And one thing we learned about Thomas is obviously he is from Missouri, right? The show me state. Maybe he was the first Missourian. It's like, I'm not believing unless I see with my own eyes. And we all can be that way sometimes. Yeah, I don't know about that. But this is what the word said, but now I just don't know. You know, and yet Jesus blessed the one who will receive the testimony of his disciples. Because that's what's happening here. His other disciples tell him, you missed it. You weren't here. We were in the room and he just appeared. And and he this is what he told us. And this is what happened. Thomas thought, I don't believe it. And notice what he said, unless I see. And so,
unless I touch.
Yeah. And it's, hey, you just see this lack of faith in the testimony of these disciples.
And, you know, it was a mind-boggling thing. Someone has resurrected from the dead. Our leader has resurrected. He's conquered death. You couldn't understand that in just the natural mind.
Yes.
It did take faith.
But Thomas made a declaration over himself. Mm-hmm. He says, if I don't see, I will not believe. And the woods are full of folks today that are living apart from Christ because of this same mentality. Mm-hmm. Okay, if God is real, then he's going to have to do this. Or if this happens, then I might believe. And it's you know, the just shall live by their faith, the scripture says. That we are not moved by what we see. We're moved by what we believe as Christians. And so these disciples had seen the Lord. They shared the testimony of that. Thomas, he would not accept their testimony. But see, Tom, this is not the only witness that Thomas had. Jesus had told them that he would be raised from the dead. None of them really got it or put all that together ahead of time. But the women had come and given the report that they had seen him. Now these disciples. And Thomas is just a late bloomer when it comes to believing that Jesus had been raised from the dead. But let's give Thomas his due as well, positively. Mm-hmm. There are times in Scripture when Thomas steps up to the plate. When he was walking with Jesus, it was
John 11:16.
Read that for us, because this is an occasion where we see Thomas wasn't always this doubter, this one, you know. He put his faith on the line.
Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. This is when they were going to Bethany after hearing that Lazarus was sick.
Yeah.
And the Jewish leaders were after them all. And so Thomas did show faith.
Yeah, the hound dogs of religion were always on the heel of Jesus and those disciples. And things were really stirred up in Bethany. Lazarus was sick. And so we see Thomas, his commitment to Christ here. He says, okay, I'll go with him. You know, even if it means we're going to die, I'm going with him. So I guess we can say Thomas was not a person who did not have a very passionate belief and faith in Jesus. But after he had seen him crucified and witnessed all of that, he had a hard time putting the resurrection reality in with what he was believing about Jesus. But it didn't take him long to catch up, did it?
No, it didn't. And you know, Jesus is so gracious here. He offered Thomas what Thomas needed, but he went further to say, but the blessed are those who don't have to have this, you know, but they don't have to see and touch to believe.
Yeah. And I love that. Again, we see these mercy pictures of Jesus. I mean, they're sprinkled all through the Gospels. This is another one. When he shows up in that room, this time he knows Thomas is going to be there. He knows what Thomas has said because he goes right to the point. Hey, Thomas, see these scars? Touch them. Look, see these scars in my hands, my feet? And now Thomas is seeing with his own eyes. And he recognizes it's the Lord. And so you see this repentant heart, oh, my Lord and my God. You know, he caught up in a hurry. So thank God, Jesus, for his mercy. And he deals with us all in that way. You know, he knows our frame. He knows our frailty. He knows our weaknesses. And he remembers Thomas's faith. He remembers the good things Thomas had done. And I love that about the Lord. You know, sometimes it just thrills me to know the Lord knows my heart.
Yes.
And sometimes it puts the fear of God in me to know that the Lord knows what's in my heart.
Yes.
The Lord knows us, and he loves us, and he's merciful. And he will work in our lives to bring us to the places of faith that we need to arrive at. And that's what we see him doing here. And this is different than this religious group telling Jesus, "Will you come down from the cross and we'll believe?" Very unlikely they would have, you know. But Thomas, he was ready to roll. He just had a hard time. But as soon as he saw Jesus, he's ready to roll.
That's right.
And he ultimately
gave his life
for Christ.
Yes, he did. We're in the group that is having not seen believe.
Excuse me?
So we are in the group having not seen believe. So we have that blessing that Jesus spoke.
That's good news, isn't it?
Mm-hmm,
she just said that Jesus said that you are blessed if you believe in him. You haven't seen him. He may not have appeared in a room to you, and you've seen those nail-scarred hands. He may not have spoken to you in that way, but he's spoken to you through his Spirit. He's spoken to you through his Word. And so, as Mickey just read, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. So, you are blessed. You are blessed. And boy, the proof in that is when you don't know the Lord and you confess him and you ask Jesus to come into your life, receive him as your Lord and Savior, declare your faith in him, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you're blessed. I mean, you immediately have that peace of his presence. The sin, the guilt of that sin is rolled away, and you know that you have just discovered what you've looked for your whole life.
Yes, yes.
The power of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel, the power of his Spirit present with you. And he's all in that room.
Yes. Well, there's a very interesting couple of verses in this section of Scripture. Let's look at those.
Read those. It's powerful.
Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So, wow, what a wonderful promise right there ending that section.
Yeah.
And interesting that he did many other signs that in their presence of the disciples that are not even recorded.
Yes, that's exciting, and it's interesting, and it's like, oh my goodness.
There's more.
Yeah, and even in John's gospel, you know, some commentators say, well, John's wrapping it up here, then he remembers. He goes on and gives more information about things going on after the resurrection. But I think he puts this here because it so ties in with what's just happened in the room with Thomas. How Jesus appeared, and, you know, post-resurrection appearance of Christ. And John says, he did a lot more things than what I've shared with you so far. And Jesus has said, blessed are those who haven't seen and believed. And here he says, that believing you may have life in his name after the end of the section. So he's tying that in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And these Gospels don't even contain nearly all that he did. But man, what we have in the Scriptures is mind-blowing.
Indeed.
And there's so much more. Why? That we might believe that there is life in his name, may have life in his name. You know, that he is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does. And if you confess him and believe in your heart God's raised from the dead, you'll be saved, and you'll have the gift of eternal life given to you freely by him. John's wanting you to know that. He wants us to know that. And he wants everyone to know that. It's the heart of the gospel. You can't take the supernatural. That's another thing this says to me. You know, many other signs. Please don't take theological scissors and cut the miracles out of the Bible. Oh, my heavens. They're attestations and verification that Jesus is who he says he is. And they continue to be, as recorded in Scripture. They're there as evidence, and his Spirit continuing to work through his bride in supernatural ways is a continued evidence of the reality that Christ is alive today.
Amen. That is the good news.
Yeah, and he walks with me and talks with me, and, you know, as the song says. Mm-hmm. So I hope you know him. I hope you say yes and amen to these signs and wonders and miracles, and that you have life in his name. If you do not, the scripture is so clear that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And who's that for?
Whosoever will.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being on here with us today. We hope you enjoyed this. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10:30. And go a little bit further into some post-resurrection truths.
Yes. And I want to say a big hello to my dear brother, Jason Alexander, over there in Kuwait, serving our nation. We love you, brother. We bless you. And Anna and your children here, we love them. And thanks for dropping in with us tonight.
Today.
Well,
it's tonight where you are, probably.
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking, so I may have that wrong.
And hey to Darcy and Stan, and I hope we didn't miss anybody else.
But yeah, Miss Ann Mathenja over there in Kenya. Blessings to you, dear sister. We love you. And
so we're connected across the
Pastor
globe.
Pastor Jeffrey, yes.
Blessings. Have a wonderful day in Jesus.
We love you all.
Bye.